song following the lesson
this morning is number 920, Whosoever Heareth.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I think it bears repeating. Love is more important than anything I say, verse 1. Love is more important than anything I have, verse 2. And love is more important than anything I do, verse 3. And that because love determines or seasons what I say. And love dictates what I do with what I have. And love determines what I actually do. There's just nothing more important. Paul went on to say in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, but now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But I want you to help me with the rest of the verse. The greatest of these is love. Greater than faith? Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. But love is greater. Greater than hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. But love is greater than hope? That's why we sing. I know the young people can help me with this. Maybe we all can help me. I have love like thee. Do y'all know that? You don't know that? You sure you don't know that? Well, let me tell you about that. I've got love like the ocean. I heard somebody whisper it. And then I have peace like a river. And then I have joy like a fountain in my soul. Now, I just gave you the titles of today and the next two Sunday morning sermons. This morning, I want us to think about this idea of I have love like the ocean. Just some comparisons that we might be able to make relative to this idea of love being compared to an ocean. Comparison number one. You cannot think of the earth unless you think of the ocean. And that is true because actually 71% of the earth's surface is the ocean. Only 3/10 of the earth's surface is dry land. If you were to look at the earth from outer space, that's why it looks like a big blue marble. And it's actually called the water planet. But we shouldn't be surprised. And that because of what we find in the Bible. In Psalms 24, verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it, the world, upon the seas, and established it, the world, upon the waters. the world, the seas, the earth, the waters. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, this they willfully forget, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing, and the verb that is translated means literally, the earth was standing and remained standing out of water and in water. The Holy Spirit through Peter says that the earth came up out of the water and stood, and it remained standing there in water. You cannot think of the earth without thinking of the oceans. But we're making a comparison of love to the oceans. And I would suggest to you that you cannot think of a Christian unless love comes to mind. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13. And let's together read what Jesus said in verses 34 and 35. You have your Bibles? Please turn with me. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, I read that and I find several things of interest. First of all, the word love in just two verses is used four times. That's amazing to me. But I look at this more carefully, and Jesus says, "A new commandment." The Greeks had two words for new. One, neos, meant new by virtue of time, chronology. This is a new day, meaning chronologically, this day has never been before. I have a new car. I never had that car before. New in reference to time. But another word for new in the Greek language was kainos, and that meant new in quality. Let me illustrate. Do you remember when Jesus said, "No one takes new wine and puts it in old wineskins"? But he takes new wine and puts it in new wineskins. Now, the cultural backdrop to that, of course, is you take new wine and you put it in an old wineskin because that old wineskin has already expanded by the fermentation process with the wine that was in it to begin. It is already expanded, and you put new wine in there. When that new wine ferments, the gases that comes from the fermentation would cause that old wineskin to burst. And so you put new wine in new wineskins. Now, watch this. New wine translates the Greek word for new in reference to time. And so here is new wine that has just come into existence, needing to ferment. You take that new wine that has never existed, new in time, and you put it in new wineskins. The word for new there is kainos, new in quality. New in quality. That is, it is a wineskin different in quality to the old wineskin. It's new and it can expand as the fermentation process continues. So, new in reference to time, new in reference to quality. Brother Dan, where are you going with this? Now look at our verse. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment. Guess which word for new Jesus used there? New in reference to quality. This wasn't a new commandment in time. In point of fact, they had been taught to love one another all the way back in the book of Leviticus. This is new in quality. I'm going to give you a commandment that has a quality to it that is fresh and something never before experienced. That you love one another even as I have loved you. This is a different kind of love than any love man had ever known. And note, it's I love you the way Jesus loves us. Now, with that said, Jesus went on in verse 35 to say, by this will all men know that you're my follower. People will not know us as Christians by the bumper stickers on the back of our pickup. People will not know us as Christians simply by virtue of where we worship, though that's important. People will not know us as Christians simply by connecting us with what we do believe or don't believe, though that's important. We will be known in the world by our love. And if we're not, self-examination would be appropriate. Comparison number two. Oceans are actually one body of water connected together. One body of water connected together in our minds geographically. And so we talk about the Pacific Ocean, which constitutes 48% of the oceanic waters. And we talk about the Atlantic Ocean, which constitutes 28% of the oceanic waters. And we talk about the Indian Ocean, which constitutes 20% of the oceanic waters. And we talk about the Arctic Ocean, which constitutes 4% of the oceanic waters. But actually, all of these are just one huge body of water that are all interconnected. Now, comparing that thought to love, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In your New Testaments together, let us turn to Colossians chapter 3. You there? If you have your iPhones, push the buttons and get to Colossians 3. If you have your iPads, push the buttons and go to Colossians 3. If you have your Bible, turn the pages. Let's hear those pages turn. If you don't have your Bible, get on your knees and pray. Here we go. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Pause. The word that is translated put on means one of two things. It means plunge into or sink into. Think of yourself on the side of a swimming pool, okay? And you're sitting there, or let's say you just come out and you walk over on the diving board and you stand there a while because you know when you first hit the water it's going to be cold. Going to feel great in a minute, but it's going to be cold. And so you're standing there and all of a sudden, you just take the plunge. You dive in. That's the word put on. Let's say that you have been in the swimming pool for a while and you're there and you just relax and all of a sudden you just let the air out of your lungs and you just sink down to the bottom of the pool. That's the word put on. Dive in. Sink down into. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, dive into, sink down into tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But, verse 14, above, literally over all these things plunge into, sink down into love, which is the ligament or shackles or bond of perfection. Watch what Paul just wrote there. Here are all of these virtues: mercy, love, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. He says, over all of those, like a dome, encapsulating all of those virtues, make sure there is love. Not only that, but he says, not only is love to encapsulate all of these other virtues, he calls this the bond or the shackles of perfection. And the concept is, the word translated shackles means shackled together. It's not, I am shackled and chained to this wall on the right hand, shackled and chained to this wall with the left hand so that I can't go anywhere. It's shackled together. I have shackles on the right hand and the left hand, and they are chained together. Now, when I do that and I move my right hand, what's going to happen to my left hand? It's going to go with me. And so being shackled together by love makes me perfect. That is, complete spiritually. What I ought to be to God at this moment in time. Love is what helps me be there. I put that together and I learn that if I'm having a problem being kind with my words, that's not my problem. I need to love more deeply. If I'm an egotist and arrogant, I have a bigger problem. I don't love the way I ought to be. If I'm not gentle with people, if I carry a grudge, if I'm bitter, if I'm distant, if I'm moody, I have a deeper problem. It's a problem of love. If I don't suffer long with, if I'm not long in coming to anger, if I'm quick to get mad, I have a different problem. Love. If I don't forgive, it's not just callous, it's I have a larger problem. Love. Love encapsulates all of these and keeps them together and shackles me to being what God expects me to be. That makes it pretty important, doesn't it? Comparison number three. The oceans influence the entire biosphere. Back up a minute. In Genesis 1 verse 10, reference is made to God creating the seas, plural. And it is in the plural in the Hebrew language, but it's called an intensive plural, meaning it's being used to emphasize, just like Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God's plural created the heavens and the earth. It's the intensive, majestic plural used to emphasize. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:10, God created seas. Look at this massive body of water. But you keep reading in verse 22, the word is seas. Actually, in Hebrew, it was the singular. In verses 26 and 28, God gives men dominion over the sea, singular. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there was no more sea, singular. So, multitude of seas geographically, but just one sea connected together. And of course, love connects these virtues together. Comparison number three. The oceans influence the entire biosphere. We talk about the Gulf Stream, and it actually moves a greater volume of water than all of the rivers and streams in the entirety of the world. Most of our rainfall comes from the evaporation process of oceans. It's been said that 97% of our drinking water, or the water that we use, reverts back somehow to the oceans. It is estimated that 90% of the oxygen that we breathe comes from oceanic plants and seaweed. 13% of our salt comes from the oceans. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration tells us that one out of every six jobs is connected somehow to the oceans. The oceans impact our entire biosphere. In comparison, love impacts everything there is to us as Christians. Now, ready to push that button on the iPhone again? Ready to turn those pages? Let's go to Romans chapter 13. And I want you to read with me Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Romans 13, verses 8 and 9. While you're turning, Amos 5, verse 8 says, God made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The waters of the sea are called forth through the evaporation process, poured out on the earth through rain. The Lord is His name. Matthew, of course, says, God sends the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. In Romans chapter 13, note if you would, verses 8 and 9. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We've talked about that word fulfilled before. It means to fill to the point of running over, like pouring a bottle of Coke into a glass and it begins to suds up and it goes down. You pour more in, it suds up, goes down. Pour more, suds up, goes down. Anybody ever done that before? Now, have you ever poured enough Coke in there to where you look down at the top of the glass and the Coke is cresting over the top of the glass? Y'all ever done that? And one more drop, what's going to happen? It's going to overflow. That's the word translated fulfilled in the New Testament. Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the Old Testament, meaning I've come to fill up every prediction of the Messiah to the point of running over, so there'll be no question whatsoever, I am the one predicted. Right here, he who loves another has filled to the point of running over the law. There's no question whatsoever that I'm right with God when I'm loving others the way I ought to. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Adultery is not a moral problem alone. It is a problem of love, the want of it. Disrespect for human life is not an ethical problem. It is a problem of love, or the lack of it. Stealing a man's character with deceit, stealing a man's possessions with thievery, it is not a problem of, again, ethics. It's a problem of love, or the want of it. Look at what he says in verse 9. If there's any other commandment, and there are, they're summed up. Literally, they are hit on the head repeatedly and compressed into a summary. In this one, you shall love. How many of you have ever taken a penny and put in those? I've seen them places. In fact, we did this in California. There was a machine, and you put a penny in the machine, and you crank it, and I think it costs you a quarter to do it. So it's not a very economic thing. You put a quarter in the machine, and you crank this, and it turns your penny, it flattens it out. Y'all ever seen those? Flattens out the penny and puts a new engraving on the penny. I still have mine at home. The word that is translated summed up here is what that means. It means you take a hammer to something and you just beat it, 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 until what was there is just all flattened out. And there's this image on it. And so you take all of the commandments and you just beat them, beat them, beat them until they're all flattened out. And there's an image on it and it says, love one another. It impacts, influences everything we do. It makes it important. The last comparison, the oceans remain a mystery. Did you know that only 5% of the world under the ocean attic, or the ocean waters as we see them, only 5% of the ocean has been visited and explored by man? 95% of the ocean world, a mystery to man. That's incredible. Love, in comparison, makes you and me a huge mystery. I read in Psalms 8, verse 8, about that the paths of the seas. In Psalms 107, verse 24, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Love makes you and me a mystery to the world. They can't figure us out. In 1 John chapter 3, God has displayed His great love for us in a particular way. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Now listen to this. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world can't understand us as children of God. But remember Ephesians 5 verse 1, be ye imitators of God. Verse 2, walk in love. When you like God, you love, and the world can't figure you out. Why are they so kind in responding to this individual that has been so cruel? The answer is, they're like God. They love. How can they forgive? The answer is, they're like God. They love. Why won't he? Why won't she? The answer is, they're like God. They love. We're a mystery to the world. All the same, as we close, turn with me one last time in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another, read it, and to all. Every citizen of Huntingdon, Tennessee should be the recipient of my deep feelings and see God in me by the love they experience. And so in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9 says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the Holy Spirit would lead others to say, now when it comes to this person, you don't need to talk to them about love. Oh, they've been there. They're where they need to be there. You don't need to talk to them about love. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I ask you, do you need to, in a big way, increase and abound in love? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. His name is Rudolf Hess. He was one of the right-hand henchmen of Adolf Hitler. He was arrested, went through the Nuremberg trials, and he and six others that were convicted of war crimes were sent to a prison in Berlin called the Spandau Prison. It's a prison that was constructed for 600 inmates, and all of the inmates that lived there were moved out. So those seven men guilty of war crimes in World War II could be put into that one prison. Ultimately, the other six either were finally paroled or died, leaving Rudolf Hess the only prisoner in Spandau Prison. A full regalia of guards were there on a regular basis, changed on a regular basis, only one prisoner. He could only have one visitor a month. It could only be for 30 minutes. It could only be his wife or his son. They could not embrace, they could not touch, they could only speak for 30 minutes. And because of the isolation, and because of the want of expressed affection, the man became insane. I'd rather die than live in a world without love. Is your home without love? Is your marriage without love? Is your place of work without love? Is your heart wanting in love? Think of those questions. And if need be, make the Lord's invitation yours as we stand together and sing.